Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It is so great to be in church after the week that we've had. It is so great to be meeting with you today, although it be not be in person, but we thank you so much for joining us. And for those in the room today, we've got our ministry team here. You know, it takes a fair few people to do church like we normally do it. And we find that out when we're stripped back to five people like we were last week. But it is great to have a few people here. And we are so hopeful that you'll be able to come back into the room as soon as possible as well. And so rest assured that we will do what we can from this end to be able to give you that that experience. But you can know that every week, no matter what, that when you come before God, that He is there to meet with you. Whether it is in person throughout the week, whether it be online via the church service, the Holy Spirit is moving and He is there with you today. I am so excited about what God has given me to share today and the fact that we are here in church. But before we get to the message, I just want us to stand. And if you're at home as well, I know that can be a bit strange if you're sitting on the couch, but I just want you to stand for a minute. I want to pray. And I'm going to pray for a few people this morning who are just feeling overwhelmed, who are just feeling heavy, you know, with everything that's happened this week. And maybe this has not been that, you know, sometimes all it takes is a straw to break that camel's back. That's one little thing, but this has been a big thing perhaps, and it's just smashed you, and you're feeling overwhelmed. And I want to pray for you this morning that you'll know the touch of the Holy Spirit in your life, that He will give you peace today. And if that's you, just stretch your hands out before you right now, and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You see every single person, that You see their hearts, that You know them, Lord God. Father, You know that what they are feeling right now. You know why they are overwhelmed. Father God, and we thank You that in those moments that You can give them peace, Lord God, that surpasses all understanding. And Father, I pray that every person that is reaching out before You right now would know the touch of Your Spirit. They would know that You are for them right now, that You are their provider, that You will sustain them through this time. And Father, we give You glory. And secondly, if you're there and perhaps you're not in that boat and you say, look, I'm strong, I'm doing all right at the moment, then I want you to take a moment right now and just in a moment of prayer, close your eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning, to name drop, a Holy Spirit name drop for you about someone who you need to reach out to today. What is wonderful is that the Holy Spirit can prompt us with those names, that we can reach out as an act of obedience, and that He will continue to do that work, that the strength is not about our strength, it is about our obedience. And just allow the Holy Spirit to put a name, maybe it's a couple of names in your head. If you need to write that down, write it down, to reach out to after church today. Maybe you need to send them the link to the message today and say, hey, get on board. There's a great message coming. Father, we thank You for Your guidance. We thank You that obedience is our responsibility, Lord God, but You will take care of the outcome. And Father, we know that there are many who need hope in You and need a touch from You. And Father, we pray that You would go before us, that You would have Your way. Penetrate people's hearts today, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen, amen. You can take your seats. If you stood up at home, you can take your seats as well. Thank you, Steph, and thank you, worship team. It is great to have a worship team back in the building. Not that I don't love doing it with you, Steph, just you and me. That's cool. But I love having a team here as well. So what a week we've been in, right? What a week. I have heard more times than I can count the number of people who have said, I have never experienced something like this before. We've never seen this happen before. I live up in Montrose with a couple of other people around here, and man, it was wild, wasn't it? It was wild. That's probably an understatement. Many in our community I know are still without power, and we pray that it returns quickly. And Nick has already said it, but if you need something, please reach out to us. And if you want to come on site for a hot shower or to charge some devices or do whatever you need to do, please let us know and we can make that available for you. Financial support, whatever it is, please let us know. I don't know about you, but I've found over the past little while that event after event, it's been lifted the profile has been lifted to me. Profile is probably the wrong word. Just the fragility of life. The fragility of life. And it's as I've reflected on this that it has caused me to turn to God and both rest on Him and cling to the faithfulness of Him. And I am so thankful. I have become so increasingly thankful that I actually know God. Because you can walk through these things with your head up, knowing that we have a hope in a God who is above it all. And that is just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And whether the storm that we've experienced is due to a literal storm, like we've seen that carnage, or whether what we're experiencing is a physical storm or an emotional storm, we serve a God who is bigger than it all. We can trust Him. We can have hope in Him. Before the storm, during the storm, and after it is past, He is still God. I want you to be reminded today that the presence of a storm in your life does not mean the absence of God. And sometimes that's a lie that we can believe that is when we find ourselves in a moment that is really tough or a trial that means that God has left us. And that is not the truth. God continues to walk with you and by your side and carry you if you need to through that trial. And it is an opportunity for us to see Him move in a brand new way that we perhaps have never seen Him move before. And my prayer is as we come around His Word today, we gain perspective of some of the things that we may be walking through or perhaps maybe crawling through at this time. It's just felt like one thing after the other recently. One thing after the other. And I know that we'll all find a rhythm again. And to be honest, that's part of the part that I get worried about when I think about the church and I think about our local community as well, is that when we find that rhythm, sometimes finding a rhythm can lead to a lack of reliance on God. A rhythm that and I think that we need to be careful of is we need to be aware of the rhythm that leads to complacency. And we need to lock into the rhythm of the Holy Spirit, that no matter what comes, we draw near to Him on the highest of mountains or in the lowest of valleys. We really have no idea of what's coming next, right? The only thing that we do know for sure is that it is, that something is coming next. Those storms on Wednesday night, I heard from a few people that they received an email first thing on Thursday morning about generators being available at certain shops. If you need a generator, we've got them. Be prepared. And so the title of my message today is called Future Proof. Future proof. This is the world's definition of it. Future proofing is the process of anticipating the future and developing methods of minimizing the effects of shocks and stresses of future events. Quite apt for what we have experienced this week. I wonder how many people are thinking about investing in a generator or they're trying to sell one on Gumtree if they don't already have one. Trying to anticipate the future and minimize the effects of the shock and the stress that may come from that event. And there are some people that you may know of them that they take this to a whole nother level. These guys that build doomsday bunkers. Have anyone seen that before in the room? You know what I'm talking about, doomsday bunkers. There is, just as there is a real estate market for houses that are on top of the land, there is a whole nother market for bunkers that are under the ground. From decommissioned missile silos to people digging up their backyards, they can range anywhere from around $40,000 you can spend on one of these things, like a space in one of them, or you can spend up to $1 billion on one. There are some people who have gone quite to the top. They're equipped with four or five different sources of fuel just in case. There's air filtration, there's food to last years, infrastructure to grow your own vegetables, to farm your own fish in these things. There's cinemas, libraries, pools, you name it. These facilities have thought of everything. And I've just got a couple of photos to show you as well of some of these bunkers. So there's one of the decommissioned ones. So we'll go inside and have a look. That's it. That's it under the ground. They are stories. That is like a high-rise building underground. Next one. Like that's underground in a bunker. Like, come on. Where is this bunker? This is in Kansas. Next one. Like you can go to the deli, get your fresh bread. It is storage galore. Keep going. So this is the real estate market for bunkers. This is what's happening. And the next one, like, talk about people being prepared. I was going to say paranoid, but anyway, next one. Is that it? That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's it. There's heaps, but you can Google them yourselves. And I'm not taking anything away from the engineering or the work that's gone into this. After all, whenever we prepare for the future, we do it based on experience, either of ourselves or of others, and of wisdom. But I know even these people have thought through it all. They would admit that there are some things, and there are possibly many things, that could occur that would render all of their preparations useless. The fact is, you simply cannot prepare for everything. But today we're going to look at that concept of being future-proof. Is it possible? Is it actually possible when it comes to our lives? After all, we're not just here preparing for what we're doing right here on earth, but we have eternity to think about as well. And here's David's advice to us for the now through a psalm. And this, I know this is going to be hope for someone today. And this was such a last-minute addition to the message, but I really felt God wanted me to read this out to you today. Psalm 27, and we're going to read verse 1 to 6. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when the troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music." That is the hope that we have in our God that is above it all, that we can trust in him. We need not fear, for the Lord is with us. Has anyone recommended a certain food chain to you before? Anybody a good food recommender? Some people, I think, you know that they are going to have a good recommendation, and others you tend to learn from their recommendations, the last couple that you've had from them. Some people in our staff have recommended Guzman. Why is that? Is that Guzmani Y. Gomez in Croydon? It's Mexican food, apparently. And someone says, "I have to try it," Steph. But there is a non-negotiable when it comes to the acceptance of a food recommendation, or any recommendation for that matter. The person has had to have tried it first. Then I'll try it so that I can confirm the truth that they've actually told me. See, it's through the trial that we discover truth. It's through a trial that we discover truth. We can have heard about a truth, but it's as it's experienced do we discover the outworking of that truth, or why it is so applicable or so important to us. God opens our eyes to the truth as we walk through a trial. And this is part of the way that God works. He knows us best. See, it's through trial that our reliance is determined. And I want us to understand that and gain that perspective of whatever it is that we're moving through, whether it is based on physical things that we've just experienced, or whether it is based on things that have been building up for years. That is through trial that our reliance is determined. What are we relying on? Who are we relying on? James 1:2-4 says this: "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." And this is not based on nothing. This is not just about getting a thick skin to the experiences of life. This is not just about moving through life with calloused hands because we have done it and it no longer affects us due to the trials. It's not even about being ultra prepared in a physical sense. This is about where we place our faith and our hope through these times. When our faith is on God alone, we can find joy in these trials. And that word alone is important. We're going to get to that later. But we read on from verse 5, and we're going to read through to 8. If you need wisdom, it says, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. One of the prayers I remember praying as a teenager was for wisdom. In my late teens, it was every night before I went to bed, I was praying and asking, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me guidance. And I know that that prayer was a result of the others who were praying for me through that time, because it is such a pivotal time, those late teen years, in making a decision of your life in which way you are going to go. And that prayer for wisdom is so important. So I want to give us a couple of points today on how to future-proof our life. And they are really simple, and they are not new, but they are foundational, and they are worth putting into practice. And that first point that I want you to write down is that we need to ask for wisdom. The word says to ask, and our generous God will give it to you. When was the last time that you asked for wisdom from God? Perhaps it is every day. Perhaps it's been a while. Perhaps it was the last time that you went through a trial that you needed it. But we need to continue to ask God for wisdom. Godly wisdom to see things in a bigger picture, things that we've missed. There's a family member of mine who will remain nameless, and I was thinking about one of their rooms when they were living at home, and their bedroom. And this bedroom was a room that I don't know how to put it nicely. It was a mess, like literally it was a mess. And it was months and months and months of accumulation of mess that would come into this place. And I just had that picture of those messy rooms. And some people, you know what a messy room looks like if you've been around a child, or you've got someone that you know that has had a messy room. And sometimes when we think about our lives, it can be like that. And wherever we look, that there is mess. And when you try and walk into that room, there is nowhere that you can put your foot where it lands on a piece of solid ground. And we can sometimes feel like that about our lives. Ask for wisdom. Wisdom gives you perspective. Wisdom allows you to see where to start. Because sometimes the accumulation has been so big over so many years that we simply don't know where to start. God, where do you want me to start with this mess? This is not a reflection of failure, but this is an opportunity for God to be glorified as you give it over to him. Number one, ask for wisdom. Because wisdom doesn't just help with decision, it helps with response. And in this case, our response to a trial. So verse 6, it reads on, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. If you're writing notes or you've got that in your Bible, highlight that, God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So the second point today is to be undivided in your faith. I told you, I know these are so simple and we know them, but it is so important and we need to be reminded of it continually, to be undivided in your faith. There is no such thing as sharing your eggs when it comes to faith in God. God is an eggs in the same basket kind of God. Don't spread them around. He wants them all in the same. Be undivided when it comes to our faith. It is no surprise that the instruction from James regarding this is directly after he speaks about wisdom and asking for wisdom, because there is no greater wisdom than that of being undivided with our faith and having it all in God. And so often, like I spoke about with the preparations, we have 5 different sources of power and we have 30 different sources of food, and we have covered all the bases. But God says, and he is saying, all the bases, there is only one base that needs covering, and it is undivided faith in me. Everything else comes out of that. It's so easy for us in life to try and put things in place, to cater for our deficiencies or cater for our failures, to put it in. He doesn't mince words. When our loyalty is divided, we are unstable in everything we do. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to the surface any area where your alliance is divided. That's a bigger question than just what I've said, because it requires a deep amount of thinking and the Holy Spirit to bring those things up, that where our reliance is divided. Are we fully reliant on God? Nick said it before, and we've said it in the prayer meeting. Where is our reliance? If there's any area where your reliance is about anything above God, maybe it's another person, maybe it's material accumulation. But this last point is what we're going to look at for the rest of the message today. Maybe it's us. Maybe our reliance is on ourselves, which leads to the most important point about being future-proof. This one thing decides whether our bunker is going to survive or not, whether we're going to be all right through the storm or not. And the third point is, not me, but he. Not me, but he. And I've said it a couple of times, I know it sounds so simple. It's a no-brainer in many ways. And even as I wrote this point down in my notes, I said, God, give me something more than that. I need something a bit more than that. And he said, that is the more, Andy. He didn't say that. He says, Andrew. He said, that is the more, Andrew. It's all there, like my mother. Not by your strength, but by mine. Not by your strength, but by mine. Not me, but he. The Holy Spirit led me to this chapter through the week for today. And I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at Paul's encouragement to Timothy in how to flesh this out, not me, but he. And there's going to be some homework on this one for you guys to read. Paul is writing this in prison. He's faced the literal trial, but also many other trials that he details in his letters. And we're going to read verse 1 to 5. And he says this to Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. They'll be disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasures rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. I'm sure, like me, as we read that, we can see examples of that all around. Is that not, unfortunately, the world that we live in today? That our society has become so obsessed with self, with us. And he says it in there that people will act religious but reject the power that could made them godly. How does that work? The Amplified Bible says it like this. It says, because their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. So it is important with what is said, but what is also done by the way that we are, the way that we act, what we say, but what we do. And if we're to distill down what Paul is saying to Timothy to be aware of, it is this. In a word, it is self. That's going to cause difficult times for you. When self is on the throne in someone else or in us, it spells trouble. And this comes back to what we found at the beginning, that God opens up our eyes to his truth through trial, because he doesn't want us to go down the path of self. He knows where we will head. He knows what is coming. And sometimes will lead us into those trials for us to have a reminder of where our reliance should be. See, the path of self leads to destruction. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness or arrogance before a fall. I know this is probably not revelation to many. We see that selfish society, from governments to industry to individuals. So much is geared around the idea that we are the center of the universe. And this is exactly where the enemy wants us to be in society. That our lives are all about pleasing ourselves, right? Because as soon as we fall for that, we say, not he, but me. And we turn away from God. With this at our core, we set ourselves up in the best bunker that we can afford, with all of the preparation we can think of. But then in an instant, it can be gone. That is what it is to set ourselves up with self at the center. This bunker has everything that we think it could need. No matter whether that is possible in life or not, we set it up and in an instant it can be gone. One thing, it was so interesting to hear a number of the bunker makers for the Rich Get Famous say is that their clients, and the reason they spend millions and millions of dollars on these things is because they're paranoid and afraid of what might be to come. And that this is their lifeline. That my bunker is my lifeline. No matter what, you know, like last year through coronavirus, bunkers like went through the roof in cost and in demand. If I can get to somewhere, then that's going to be my lifeline. But let me tell you, no bunker is going to save us from the inevitable judgment that awaits us at the end of our lives. But, through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, through his burial and his resurrection, he has paid the price for our sin. We have been invited to live life with him here on earth, for him here on earth, and into eternity. And with that, we are future proof. We are future proof. We don't need a bunker, we need Jesus, right? We need Jesus. Death, where is your sting? Storm, what do you have that can knock down my God? Waves, you have no sway, because the God that I serve defeated sin and death, and then speak to those waves and let them subside. He is bigger than it all. He is more powerful than it all. He is above it all. In him we have become future proof. The good news is that the same God who looks after our future also looks after our now. And the homework for you is 2 Timothy 3, 10 to 17. You can read that later as you want. But it talks about the persecution and the suffering that we may face, but that all scripture has been God-breathed. All scripture has a purpose for us. You can read that later. Steph, you can come and play. When I was a teenager, there were these really popular wristbands that you could have. They had the initials on them. What do you remember? Does anyone remember? WWJD. WWJD. I remember them when I was a teenager. Were they around before that? Or was that like when they came? WWJD, it means what would Jesus do? And then there was another one that became popular. Nick, what was it? Frog. Yes, Nick, I'm looking at you because that was that was happening. Did you have one? You had the original, but you didn't go to the frog. And frog stood for fully rely on God. And you used to wear them on your wrist and they were like colors and stuff. And that was a bit of fun. And just like the WWJD, it was a reminder of us regarding any action in our situation. That no matter where we found ourselves in the way that we were talking to others or what we were doing, we would ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? And it was great. It was really good. And Frog was designed to do the same. That no matter the situation you found yourself on, you would look down and you would remember those letters, fully rely on God. I can fully rely on God in the situation I find myself in. But as I've grown from my teenage years, my interpretation or my understanding of that statement has taken a little bit of a different form. It has changed. See, I used to think of that fully relying on God as being an instruction to me. Andrew, you need to, in this situation, put aside what you think you can do in your own strength, and you need to fully rely on God. And that is great. We need to think that way because it is so true. But now I see that as a praise point out of a revelation that I know that not should I fully rely on God, which I should, but that I can fully rely on God. That no matter what comes, no matter what we face, that we can fully rely on God. No matter what comes your way. 100% undivided, fully rely on God. And with this mindset, we shift about thinking about what we can do to what He can do in the situation. And that is not only does that change us, not only does it enable us to enter into the peace that only He can bring, but it glorifies God all the same. Well, that's what it does. It glorifies God because we say it's not by my power, but it's in you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So as we close today, I want us to consider the personal application for this statement for each one of us. And in doing that, God wants to remind us of one of His names. And I was reading that this week, Genesis 22, at the start of the week, funnily enough, Genesis 22, where Abraham was instructed to take his son Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice. Then at the last moment, God provides a ram for the offering. And this is a story, you can read in Genesis 22 after the service if you want. This is a story about Abraham's faith and obedience. And he goes on to call the place, and the current translation that we have for that is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And I read this during the week regarding this account. The account of Abraham on Mount Moriah thus becomes more than a dramatic illustration of faith and obedience. It is a presentation of the Lord's eternal grace, His continual provision, and His all-encompassing wisdom. Jehovah Jireh is not the Lord did provide, but the Lord will provide. In other words, the name does not simply memorialize a past event. It anticipates a future action. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So the storm might have passed. You might be in it, or it might be coming. But rest assured that you can be prepared and future-proof by putting your full faith in Jehovah Jireh, our Lord God who will provide. The heart of God is not that we work in our own strength, but that we lay ourselves down before Him in surrender, that He may show His power at work in us, that He is God. Pastor Graham, a couple of years ago, shared, if you want some more homework, there you go. He shared a message called God, My God Will Provide All My Needs. And you can listen to it on the website, My God Will Provide All My Needs. And in it, he said this, that as we appropriate it, it brings so much glory to God. He said, no matter what the need is not greater than God. And I want you to remember that today. No matter what the need is not greater than God. And allow the outworking of that in our lives to bring glory to Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for Your truth. Father, we thank You that we can understand who You are and Your character through Your word, Lord God, through what we have seen go before us. And Father, we thank You that the fact is that You were working back then, that You are working today, and that You are working into the future, and that You continue to be a faithful God, one that we can trust beyond anything else. So, Lord God, I pray that You'll bring to the surface today things in us where our reliance is on something else but You, where we are undivided in our faith. Lord God, we ask for wisdom today when it comes to the decisions we make and when it comes to the responses, Lord God, to that which life throws at us. Father God, that above it all, that we would say, not me, but You be glorified in our lives. Jesus, we thank You for what is to come. We thank You for what You have done in our lives, and we thank You for the weeks that are to come. Lord, for the opportunities we are going to be able to have as people of Yours to show people the hope that we have in something beyond what we see with our eyes. And Lord, I pray that over the next couple of weeks, Lord Jesus, that we would see people come to know You. Lord, give us the opportunity for conversation. Father, allow people to come to church here, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that You would open the doors of the church, Lord Jesus, that You would be glorified as we come together, united in our worship of You above it all. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are meeting with us today. We thank You for Your truth. Let it reign in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen.
Thank you. And thank you to Andy and the team for allowing me to share communion message today. It's a real honour. I was reading the Gospel of John of recent and read in chapter 6 where Jesus was talking to the crowds and trying to reveal who he was to them. At the start of the passage, we see that the people are searching for Jesus. And when they find Jesus, he questions why they want to be around him. He says to them, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs." You see, the day before, Jesus had just performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. The people said to themselves after this miracle, "Surely this is the prophet we have been waiting for." However, Jesus still declares that the people weren't searching for him because they knew he was the Son of God. They were following him for food and for miracles. Jesus continued on by saying to them, "Don't be concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you." The Jews then asked Jesus, what do they need to do to perform God's works? Jesus' response was, "The only work God wants from you is to believe in the one he sent." This, of course, was not the answer that the people wanted. They weren't sure whether they believed in God yet. In the Son of God yet. So they reverted back to saying to Jesus, "Show us what you can do so we can believe in you." They said Moses gave manna bread from heaven to their ancestors while they journeyed through the wilderness. This just gobsmacked me and showed me how sometimes as humans we are so quick to forget how good God is. Andy spoke a few weeks ago about our memories and spoke about how God gave us the capacity to remember. However, sometimes we are so quick to remember all the bad stuff we have encountered in our life and forget to remember and recognize all the amazing blessings we have been given over our life. You see, the Jews here have completely forgotten that the exact miracle they are referring to, that God gave manna bread for the Israelites, is the exact miracle that Jesus performed for them the day before, feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread. Man, I think I would have felt like thumping them over the head with a loaf of bread. It's interesting to read Jesus' response to the people, though. He doesn't thump them over the head with a loaf of bread, nor does he even remind them that he has just performed this miracle in front of their very own eyes the day before. Jesus says, "The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They instantly ask Jesus to give them that bread. Now, we need to give them some credit. They don't have the hindsight we have in reading this passage. But that doesn't mean that sometimes we can't be as naive as them. Jesus goes on to explain to the people that he is the bread of life. And he tells them directly in verse 36, "You haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. I have come down from heaven to do the will of God. And it is my Father's will that whoever sees his Son and believes in him will have eternal life." The people just don't get it. They're thinking too literal and in the physical about who Jesus is and who his mother and father are. They don't believe that he is the Son of God. Jesus then confuses them more as he goes on to talk about how his body is the flesh and his blood is the drink, and that you cannot have eternal life unless you eat and drink of these things. The disciples even said outright to Jesus in verse 60, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" They are still seeking Jesus here to prove who he is. But he has already proved it. He is fulfilling the prophecies that have been written about him. They just don't see it. It comes down to this. God wants us to believe in him, in who Jesus is, and what the works of the Holy Spirit can do. You can't just skip Jesus. You can't just believe in God or a God and then receive the Holy Spirit. You need to acknowledge and accept who Jesus was and is, why he was on earth, and what the sacrifice of his death meant. Jesus is the bread of life, the Son of God. He came to earth to show us how to have a relationship with God. He showed us that God's love is sacrificial, and that only through the sacrifice of his love can we have the Holy Spirit and the power in the name of Jesus that comes with receiving the Holy Spirit. In verse 63, Jesus says to the people, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me." And it is at this point in the passage that it says that many disciples turned away and deserted him. Do you believe in God? Do you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Most of us would say yes. Many people are willing to believe in a higher being as they recognize the complexity of the world around us. Many people are willing in times of trouble to pray for a miracle. But are people willing to believe in the link they are missing? The link that is Jesus. A man who is historically recognized as having lived, who in the world of science has one of the strongest historical records of evidence to prove his existence and that the things said about him are indeed true. We want and seek proof of his existence and that he is who he says he is. But are we still asking Jesus to prove himself? Do we need to be thumped over the head with a loaf of bread? Jesus had already proved his existence and that he is who he says he is. So as we take our elements, let's today recognize and thank Jesus for who he is. The bread of life, the Son of Man, the link between believing in God and receiving the Holy Spirit, the one who showed us how to love like God, how to worship God, and how to pray and commune with God. You can take your elements as we take a moment to reflect. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that we can believe in a God that connects us, in a Jesus that connects us to God. We thank you that through believing in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you for the power that comes in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice it was to send your Son to the cross so that we may commune with you, Father. We pray that you bless us in this time, Father God. Help us to remember to acknowledge Jesus and the role that he plays in our relationship with you, God. We pray that you go before us in our day and help us just to remember to believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus and everything that he has done for us and for how he provides a way to receive the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Amen.